Are we on? Ted is on. I cannot get him for some reason up on the screen, but he is here from an airport. So he'll be with us for a short period of time. But appreciate his attendance here. Dan will not be with us because of football. So with that, we will go ahead and call the Common Council meeting to order. It is 6 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, April 27th, 2021. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Regold, absent. Varga.
Here.
Griffith.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Romano.
Present.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting, which was on April 13th, 2021. Were there any changes or corrections?
I do not.
Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny for the discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Thank you. Okay. Next up is an Arbor Day reading of the proclamation. Before that, I want to, you guys all know Ken. Ken Lundquist has been our tree board president for how many years, Ken?
About 12 years.
About 12 years. Ken has decided to step down from that, but I conned him in to coming in one last time to help out with Arbor Day, and so I want to go ahead and invite Ken on up to the microphone to give the Arbor Day proclamation, and I think Tree Board's also going to be, correct me if I'm wrong, Chip, but Tree Board's also going to be planting a tree at Mary Raber, is that right?
1 o'clock Friday at Mary Raber.
So that's exciting. We'll do that on behalf of the Tree Board for Arbor Day, but come on up, Ken, to the microphone, and we'll have you read off the Arbor Day proclamation.
Hey, usually this is done by the mayor, but that's my honor to do this. So I think we've had to do it a couple times when he's been tied up with the fifth graders. The proclamation reads, whereas in 1872, the Nebraska Board of Agriculture established a special day to be set aside for the planting of trees, and whereas this holiday called Arbor Day was first observed with the planting of more than a million trees in Nebraska. And whereas Arbor Day is now observed throughout the nation and the world, and whereas trees can be a solution to combating climate change by reducing the erosion of our precious topsoil by wind and water, cutting heating and cooling costs, moderating the temperature, cleaning the air, producing light, giving oxygen, and providing habitat for wildlife, and whereas trees are a renewable resource, giving us paper, wood for our homes, fuel for our fires, and countless other wood products. And whereas trees in our city increase property values, enhance the economic vitality of business areas, and beautify our community. And whereas trees, whenever they are planted, are a source of joy and spiritual renewal. Now, therefore, I, Ryan Dan O'Meara, the City of Columbia City, do hereby proclaim April 30th, 2021 as Arbor Day, and urge citizens of this community to protect our trees and woodlands, plant trees to gladden the heart and to promote the well-being of this and future generations.
Thank you, Ken. That's not the reason you're here. As you can tell, people are not here. But it was the one way I could get you here. So, Ken, I'm going to have you come up. Because of all of your service to the city, because of all of your just diligence when it comes to the trees, when it comes to checking them, when it comes to, I mean, anytime there was ever a call for tree board, anytime there's ever a call about a tree that may not be feeling good or may look a little bit dingy, you went and helped. You went and looked. You cared about the trees, you cared about the residents, you cared about the city. So, I have a proclamation I would like to read, actually. And for those of you that are watching on live stream, there's a lot of people here to support Ken. So, to all to whom these presents may come, greetings. Whereas Monday, February 11, 2016 marks the day Ken Lundquist was sworn in as a member of the Columbia State Tree Board. I don't think that's right. I think it's 06, but that's okay. Under the administration of the Honorable Mayor James Fleck. And whereas Ken also served numerous years leading the Tree Board as president of the board, as well as being a source of stability to those serving on the board with him. Ken ensured to it that the board thrived and city residents received a high level of service from the board. And whereas whenever a resident would experience an issue with the city street tree, Ken would personally go out to their property and see to it that their issues were rectified. He was a very active member of the board. And whereas Ken was not just known as a great member of the Columbia City Tree Board, but also a model citizen for the city of Columbia City, Ken always helps out where he could and still does to this day. This behavior has been demonstrated time and time again over the years. And whereas the city of Columbia City is better off because of Ken's willingness to serve in the capacity of tree board president as well as his overall philanthropic behavior, all citizens should know and appreciate the work Ken poured into the city. Now, therefore, I, Ryan L. Daniel, mayor of Columbia City, Indiana, do hereby proclaim April 26, 2021 as Ken Lundquist Day and invite all citizens to model their dedication and devotion on this great citizen of Columbia City and be inspired by his servant's leadership. Congratulations, Ken. I have to apologize for getting you here under false pretenses, but I want to just share with you just how thankful we are for your service to the tree board, to the city. As well as a proclamation, we have talked to a certain landscaper that you and I both know, and we are going to cover the cost of that tree that's going to go in your backyard as just a lasting reminder of your dedication to the trees, the citizens, and to this community. Thank you for your service.
You're going to be missed. No.
Thank you. Well, that is one of the best things that I've got to experience today, and I'm so thankful that we all got to be a part of it, and appreciate Walt. Walt kind of spearheaded a lot of this as well, and just wanted to make sure you know how much we appreciate you. So with that, obviously there's a lot of you here. You're certainly dismissed if you'd like to be. I doubt you want to sit through the rest of this council meeting, but thanks for being here. Thank you, Ken, so much. Enterprise. I'm getting really hot, Mike.
I'm
not. Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah. No, no, you're good. Thank you. No, 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 you're fine. Thank you. Let's see if I can do it this way. Nope.
This one. I have hard copies if you need.
Okay. I think I can pop it up. Actually, it's in your Dropbox if you have that. But I just put it in there, but I will pop it up for you here.
I'll take a copy if you say you got a copy.
Absolutely.
Only because I can't switch back. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Thank you.
Well,
anyway,
I don't know where this is going, but apparently it's not going to be. Well, you guys got copies. It's in your folder. I don't know what else to tell you, so I'm not sure what's going on with our TV today, but. With that being said, I'll turn it over.
Okay, I have four more. We're good?
I'm good. I got
it
from me.
It's only a few slides.
Gotcha. You're good.
So,
yep.
We'll keep it short and sweet. Appreciate you guys having us here today. Holly Sanquinetti, your client strategy manager, couldn't be here tonight. She had to stay home and watch the little girl, so she wishes she could be here. She says hello. I'm just here today, basically on her behalf, on our group's behalf, to deliver a little bit of an update on the status of the partnership, a little bit of a report card on how things are going based on, the foundation for why we started things, what some of our goals were that we put out there. So with Enterprise Fleet Management, my name is Eric Grady. I'm our area manager. So we're a tight team, small group, so when Holly couldn't make it, I was more than happy to come out, and I told Mayor Daniel, if I can do a meeting in person, I will be there, so I'm tired of the Zoom meetings. Just a few slides to go through. If you guys want to flip to the first page, we have some vehicle sales data over the last 12 months. We did flip 9 vehicles for you guys over the last 12 months. The net proceeds there, once we settled on those, was $137,477. This has been definitely a strong point over the last 12 months. You've seen kind of the shortage in the vehicle market, so that did present an opportunity for us to capitalize on some shorter cycle vehicles. There were some 12-month flips that we were able to, I think there were 4 or 5 pickup trucks that we were able to put on a 1-year term and flip out of those vehicles. A little bit earlier to capitalize on the resale value. The next page is the 10-year plan that we originally kind of used to start the partnership, or to come up with that roadmap for how we were going to roll out the partnership and start proactively managing the fleet, which has been the goal, is to get you guys from where we started, which was a 13-year cycle, to get you to that 5-year cycle. That's kind of that magic number that we're shooting for, again, to capitalize on the resale value and drive down your operating costs. So there are a ton of numbers on this page here. I don't intend to dive into this. This is kind of, we got into this at a more granular level when we kicked things off. But we are on that second line below the orange line. So 2020, we replaced 4 vehicles. There were 5 that we did, as we saw an opportunity for the 1-year flips. But we brought this up, and Holly wanted me to use this today to show you guys that we're on the right path, right? We're sticking to the plan. We've even expanded on it a little bit, and kudos to you guys. It would have been an easy year to say, hey, we're going to pump the brakes a little bit, see how things go. You guys stuck to the plan, and what that resulted in is pretty much just the final page here. If you just look at the total impact of the partnership, you had 19 vehicles on lease and on the maintenance program that cost about $106,000 over the course of a year to have those vehicles on the program. We sold 9 vehicles for, again, about $137,000. So the net impact to the entity was a little under $31,000 is what you guys made to run 19 new vehicles. So I would just like to say congratulations on sticking to the plan and kind of letting us take the wheel, no pun intended, on the fleet and doing that. So I would just open it up to questions if you guys have anything, if there are any opportunities that you guys see based on what you've experienced so far. Like I said, I don't have a ton to go through with you guys today. We just appreciate the partnership and your willingness to stick to the plan. And we would love to expand, you know, if there are some other departments where we can deliver a similar concept, we'd love to be able to look at that and just continue to add value for the city. So with that, do you guys have any questions?
So you'll remember, gosh, how many years ago? 17? We were renovating, weren't we? Well, I think it was 19.
Right at the start, yeah.
I think 19 was the first year we sold.
Oh, okay.
So I think, anyway, whenever we started this, I mean, the idea was is that, you know, the idea would be we replaced old vehicles that were less fuel efficient and less safe with newer vehicles that are more efficient and more safe, and we do that in, you know, across the majority of our departments where it fits. I know we've looked at some of the specialty vehicles, and that hasn't quite worked out yet, as in we haven't been able to find that sweet spot yet for that. But for the vast majority of the vehicles that are in this program, I mean, it's turning out to be basically better than we expected it. So I know there was a point there where we had some issues with paperwork. I think we've gotten the majority of those things worked out. Unless the department had something else to say, but I think we got the majority of those things worked out between Rosie and Holly and whoever else was involved in that. So I think we're really happy with how we've progressed down this road. I will say I'm not typically a fan of leases. I do subscribe to the Dave Ramsey theory of finances, but I will say in this scenario, when we're buying vehicles and selling them for a profit, it's really hard for us to turn down because of that government discount that we have. And it provides more vehicles into the market for, you know, used vehicles and things like that.
Would our savings increase with the cost of maintenance? I mean, tires, oil changes, would that increase the bottom line in our favor because we're not expenditure of those, or is that all a bundle?
So the brakes and tires would be separate from the fixed maintenance program that we have. As far as wearables go, just in general, your brakes and tires, as long as the vehicles are still driving and being used the same way that they were previously, you won't see a huge impact on the savings for those. It's going to be the catastrophic maintenance issues as we reduce the average age of the fleet. You'll see less downtime, you'll see less transmission engine and engine issues, things like that. So that's where you will, you know, continue to see benefits in reducing the age of the fleet.
Okay.
Eric, I'm not sure on this, like this last page where you showed a total 2020.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, the 30,962. How do we actually see that?
So
I know the part we got money back.
Good question. So what folks usually do is they will roll that into the replacement vehicle, kind of keep the fleet expense with the fleet or the WIN. You also have the option to take the funds back, and that's all. It all depends on how you guys want to handle things from an accounting perspective. We can accomplish whatever you need us to.
Because effectively, if we sell, let's say we sell a vehicle for $10,000 profit, right? We can take that let's say it's a water vehicle because I'm looking at Shota all of a sudden. We can take that $10,000, get a check, it goes right into Shota's account. Or we can take that $10,000 and apply it to his account with you guys, and that lowers overall the payments per month or whatever, right?
Right.
Effectively, those are two options.
Yeah. Okay. Which is usually the best practice. Go ahead and apply it to replace the vehicle, would reduce that monthly payment, to drive down that monthly outlay there. Mm-hmm. You'll have a little bit less of a return when we go sell that next vehicle, but that's where we can start to stabilize and lower your overall fleet expenses by keeping that with the fleet. But ultimately, whatever you guys are looking to accomplish will align with you.
What was your average year of vehicle when you took it away and replaced it? Was it every 2 years or 3 years or?
When we started the partnership?
Meaning how old were those vehicles?
Well, is there a period where, a line that says, hey, it's time to get rid of this vehicle? Is that something based upon years or is it based upon cost of maintaining that vehicle, or is it all of the above?
Good question. It's usually all of the above. I would say for a government entity, it's most of the time outside of a police department, years will drive that just because of how you guys utilize your vehicle. So there could be a lower mileage. It could take sometimes 12 years to get to 100,000 miles for a city. So that's why that five-year mark is that line in the sand. We really want to make sure, and this doesn't mean that there aren't cases where we would go outside of that, but most of the time we want to execute on the sale of that vehicle by 5 years to take advantage of the biggest buyer pool that we possibly can and get that good return on the back end.
Okay.
And you guys, I mean, you guys watch that like daily, monthly, something like that where, I mean, I know we've had meetings with, not with you, but with some of your associates, and, you know, it's one of those things where they say, hey, listen, we're seeing the market for this really drive up, and we think that this is the year to sell it. Even if it's off of the plan, this is the year to sell it in order to get that bigger bang for our buck.
Exactly. That's where the proactive management comes from with the partnership, and being open to a one-year flip where you can realize gains like this on vehicles taking advantage of that buying power. That's all we ask is that you guys have an open mind. And we will continue to come to you with ideas, and it's always your first right of refusal to say, hey, we want to go with it, or we want to table this, and maybe we'll look at it again next year. But it's going to be purely numbers-driven. What's the best financial approach that we can take, you know, this budget year? That's how we treat this.
Well, I'd say in the last week, they've been announcing the shortage, you know, across the board through all the different competitors. How does that impact? Would that impact us locally because of that, or is that totally a different part of the business?
Absolutely. So where you're seeing it, the supply shortage, you'll see the prices for your used vehicles. We're getting a much better return there. And then the delay in replacing those vehicles is dragging out a little bit longer, right, because there's a shortage of parts, whether it be microchips, phones, foam for seats, whatever it may be, plants shutting down a year ago because of COVID outbreaks. So we're starting to feel that, and what we can do to help you guys out is plan as early as possible. So this is the time of year where Holly will be reaching out in the next few weeks to start coming up with a game plan for ordering your 2022 vehicles as quickly as possible, because we will likely have a short window to order those vehicles this year. So we want to make sure you guys are in front of the line, so we can continue to execute this plan.
Okay, thank you.
I think in the past you've said that, like, because of the sheer volume of what you purchase, you guys kind of sort of at the front of the line in general. So it kind of puts us also sort of at the front of the line.
It doesn't hurt to have the enterprise name behind that, but these are strange times, absolutely. So we will be diligent this year more so than ever about making sure as soon as pricing comes out for the vehicles that you guys run in your fleet, we'll try to be all over it with getting orders.
It's kind of like the housing market. It'd be great to sell, but you got to have somewhere to go.
Have to replace it.
Gotcha. Other questions? Well, thank you, Eric.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Appreciate your guys' work.
You
need to move that ball forward. Okay. Next up is Park Storage Building, conversation with Mark. Conversations with Mark. I did not. B-R-A-D-Y.
Mark said he was going to rent this to Enterprise.
What are we
going to
do?
Rent your pole building.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Advertise.
Okay, so I'm going to go over what you have in front of you real quick. And I'll first start off by saying that since I last came here and talked about it, our prices went up due to everything going on with prices, wood especially. So the first page is just a picture inside one of Kelly's street park barns. I show you that because it shows you a loft, a 10x10 loft. The loft that we are quoted for getting in our barn is not 10x10, it's 22x46, so it's much bigger. So that's second page is an actual picture of the outside of Kelly's barn. And the reason I chose his barn is because this is very similar in size to what we're getting. What we'd be getting is a 64 by 140 foot barn. It's 14 foot ceiling. This is very close to that. Our barn will not have four or six doors on the outside. It'll have four on the side that you see, and it will have a door on each end so that you can drive a trailer through it and be able to skirt around that. Okay? Because we have a loft in there now, we can't really have doors that go all the way through on the side that you see here. So we have doors on the end. Okay? So that's kind of just a visual. Third page is kind of a breakdown of the pricing and everything. Niblock's cost. Is $64,000, and then Hilti's cost is $361,900, and the we were guessing on the sewer cost. That's we could do it ourselves on the city, and then the total is $430,000. We were at $400,000. Give you an idea, so it's $431,000. The quote for Hilti's there on the back, and then Niblock is the last quote. And the last picture, which is very dark, kind of shows you the asphalt. You can see that there's a square, a rectangle building over the tennis courts, and then the outside line would be asphalt, and it connects down to our office drive, which goes right next to our office, which that office, our office would become our maintenance office, and then we get possession of the community foundation, that would become our office. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of plans down the road. So there's a lot going on. So you're not confused. This black and white dark picture from Niblock, it says on the quote, deduct $46.50 for red and then add $10,000 for blue. The black and white picture, you cannot see that obviously, but there's a smaller section that's red that's going to be taken out. That's the line going through behind the tennis courts. And then there's a blue section that makes the whole area wider, and we need that to get in to the doors and drive doors. So that's what we're referring to in the quote. So this is what we talked about. This would be great for us. I don't know. I know Rosie's talked to the bank and discussed.
Actually, just put that in your Dropbox for the actual the terms, if you will. I think I put it in the Dropbox. I'm not seeing. Oh, there it is. Okay. You may have to reload your Dropbox, but it says City of Columbia City Term Proposal. This is what David Smith from Star gave to Rosie as something to consider, if you will. A couple of different options. You know, we talked about, you know, long-term financing at the current rate and stuff is pretty good. I was hoping that we would have more answers about the American Recovery Plan or Rescue Plan or whatever it is. But the feds have been slow to explain how we do some of the stuff. And I'll give you a for instance. In Mark's non-reverting fund last year, we were $101,000 under revenue, under the previous year's revenue, okay? In our overall other kind of tax fund accounts, we were over $460,000 short on revenue compared to the previous year, compared to 2019. So revenue replacement is a clear usage of these dollars. However, the bill also, or at least State Board, I think it's State Board, somebody is saying that we can, one of the official governments, is saying that we cannot transfer that money to a different account. So we're trying to figure out how we're supposed to recover the revenue without being able to transfer that money to the accounts in which they would have been in originally, right? So I say all that to say, you know, we still have $1.92 million that's coming from the federal government. We're going to get two tranches, one in next month and then the other the following year in May. The challenge is we're still awaiting guidance on how we can actually technically move that money from where it needs to be effectively, okay? So I say all that to say we're kind of putting this off knowing that we were getting the stimulus dollars to be able to recover revenue and all that kind of stuff. problem is they still haven't given us guidance on that. So, you know, as prices continue to go up and things change and all that kind of stuff, we're continuing to park trucks and vehicles outside, and, you know, storage space is limited and all that kind of stuff. So I've asked Mark to, I asked Mark to come back with this additional information. Rosie has checked on the terms that you see there. I did check, correct me if I'm wrong, Rosie, there's not a prepayment penalty.
No.
So if, for instance, we do get those dollars and we can take them wherever we need to take them, there's not a prepayment penalty to pay off this loan early. So we tried to do our due diligence and all those different pieces. But, you know, this is, and I think you told me earlier, and maybe you said it and I missed it, but because the volatility in the market, the current, the quote that you're provided by Hilti is a 10-day quote.
He was doing 60 days.
To give you some idea about the volatility in the market. And I don't think it's going to change much. I mean, you know, people have to build homes. They still have to, you know, build buildings, construct. So, it's up to you what you want to do. But I'd like to move forward with this project. And frankly, even if we can't use the stimulus dollars for it, we already talked about different ways in which we could fund it. My suggestion is to go with a loan. And then if we can prepay it, I mean, when it's time to prepay it, rather than just spending the cash that we have on something that's going to be here for the next 50, 60 years. So that's my gut. But certainly welcome your feedback and conversations and thoughts. Obviously, Mark can't move forward without your approval. So
I definitely think we need to move forward with it. I wouldn't say that we need to do the entire amount of doing option three. I think maybe option two would be a better option. And so we come out of pocket a little bit and save us like $10,000 on when it comes to overall interest itself. If we don't move forward, I mean, it's just wear and tear on the vehicles, the ice rink, I mean, everything we have, and it's just going to, in the long term, cost us more money.
The thing I want to say is, I think if you'd come in with a stronger plan to begin with, we would have all felt more comfortable about that. So, I mean, I feel a little bit bad with the characterization that the time that we've waited on getting a concrete plan is somehow responsible for it costing more, but we needed more information. So, you know, I think that just kind of needs to be acceptable if we're dealing with taxpayer dollars.
And I can, you know, all good comments, and I do like the option two idea, Mark. It does give us some flexibility. The payment that we're going to pay, you know, payment amount plus interest, right?
Yeah. So it's $300,000 plus the interest. Total interest over 5 years is $30,000.
Okay. So it's $66,000 annually, or?
That's the total payment amount annually.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have it up.
Oh, okay.
Or else I have to get off of there.
Here, let me do that. Make it easy for you. Can you see that?
Oh, okay. Yes.
I'm just confirming the breakdown. So, again, I think there's a Mark's waited many years, not days, months, but years. We have already over each year, it seems like we're taking more things down or living with what we got that should come down, and safety also comes into play. But I think this will also, longevity, as you mentioned on the equipment, it will give us more life out of our equipment as well. So there's a payback there, so I'm looking for that payback side. So I support the option two moving forward with the payoff if we get the stimulus income check, or however they title that, that we would pay that off at that time we received that check.
And I agree, and I don't understand why it wouldn't be able to go to multiple different accounts because it's still tied to the city. I know.
Agree completely.
I've dealt with the PPP, and I have not had that issue where you have to do just one account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so actually the next thing on the agenda is to approve an account that we have to have for the state in order for us to get the money. But I agree. I think I've asked that question about five different ways of Rosie, and she's sick and tired of me asking her that because she doesn't have an answer yet. But rhetorically, I keep saying, if this is money going to replace revenue that would have went into these accounts, why in the world can't we get the money in the account and then disperse it into those other accounts? Sure. But again, I'm off task. But it just logically doesn't make sense. So I'm hoping that with the guidance from the feds and the state, we will soon be getting that information as to how we can make that work. So on the other side, it may be something like the CARES Act, where we have to end up transferring things and spending out of that account and then transferring that other money into it.
Right.
Kind of assume that that's what you're referring to.
Yeah. So but we don't know. We don't know. Okay. So I guess I need a motion to approve moving forward with option two of the financing, and because I think at the end of the day, Mark still has to get approval to approve the contract from his park board. But as for the financing piece, the fiscal body is the one that has to approve that. So,
where are you in your 10 days?
We just got it this morning.
Park board meets Monday.
Fiscal.
Right? Park board meets Monday?
Park board meeting last night.
Oh, it was last night. I'm sorry. Well, you may have to call a special meeting then. Did they approve the quote?
They saw it.
Okay. But they didn't formally vote. Okay, you're going to have to call a special meeting. Gotcha.
Mark, what was...
This is Larry. Larry will remember.
Yeah.
What was your reason that you said you couldn't get any other quotes? Or you tried getting any
other quotes? Oh, we did try getting other quotes. But they would say, oh, if he's quoting on it, then we're not going to quote it.
We're not going to be able to beat that.
That's why we had our time getting quotes.
Yeah.
You put it out for bid.
You did try.
Yeah. I mean, you talked to three or four different companies, right?
Yeah.
So...
Well, they
asked
us who's quoting, well, we didn't
want to be guilty.
They're like, oh, then we'll mess around.
That's
like,
okay.
Yep.
This is hard.
Yep.
Not only are we short of materials to get, but the work itself, you know, the companies are right now, they're looking for people to help what they got in the pipeline already. So.
And then one thing, you need to make sure you get a copy of this insurance, liability insurance.
So, do you want to make the motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to move forward with the construction of the new parks building.
Option two?
Option two.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? Those in favor, show the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. So, Mark, try to get a park board meeting in order very quickly. You got to publicize that stuff. But you can do an emergency meeting for one singular issue, so I don't think it's that big. But I think you have to have the park board needs to approve the quote. They're kind of, as you know, they're kind of the board of works for the parks. So
thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Okay. Next up is ordinance 2021-9. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Jennifer. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2021-9 by title only.
Ordinance 2021-9, an ordinance to establish the ARP Coronavirus Local Physical Recovery Grant Fund, number 176.
So again, this is the American Rescue Plan fund, as mentioned earlier. This is basically mandated by State Board of Accounts that we have a fund in which we can accept money into. And then the next phase is after we get those dollars, then Rosie and I will kind of prepare something, bring it back to you for approval of appropriation of those dollars. So again, as a fiscal body, just as we did with the CARES Act, you will have approval over how that money is spent. Okay. But we got to have an account for it to go in first. So that's what this is here for. So questions, comments, concerns about this ordinance? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve ordinance number 2021-9 on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Walt, seconded by
Jennifer.
Okay, I couldn't tell which one. I should have looked. I'm sorry. All those in favor, show the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Okay, department heads. Terry.
Nothing to add to my report.
Questions to Terry? Mike.
We've hooked up 4 new homes. I mean, they're not sold yet, but I can see that the builders are getting material now and starting to build the homes again, so I look for a rush with us. I know there's probably 10 or 11 foundations more out there that we're going to be hooking up.
Is that Timber's Edge?
Edge, out at Lincoln Point, and that, so. And I know they're starting a new phase over here.
Granite Ridge and Cambridge.
So, I mean, I know they say that material's hard to get and expensive, but it doesn't seem to be slowing them down any.
Great. Questions?
That's it.
Thank you. Chip.
Okeali, Monday, May 7th, or Friday, May 7th, 4 o'clock. Grand opening.
Friday, May 7th. 4 o'clock. And we're going to have a couple members of the Oki family there.
Right.
Which is kind of cool.
I forgot to ask.
Sorry.
Question of the Chip. Thank you. Gary.
I'll just touch on a couple things in the report that I submitted earlier today. The Milo Range Company will be coming down on May 10th to reinstall our, we call it a firearm simulation machine that we purchased a couple years ago, and they're going to reinstall that into the new training building that we have. Since Mark's getting a new building, I was hoping to get the other building, but talk about that. Anyways, I would like to open that invitation once that's up and running for each member to come out and play on that a little bit, see how it works. It's actually a pretty neat machine, pretty neat tool, especially with ammo prices going out of control right now and hard to get ammo even. So open that invitation to everybody to come out and do that once it's up and running.
Is Gary, on that, is that like a real-life scenario kind of thing that our officers go through training of, like, shoot, don't shoot kind of a thing?
Yes.
Or what? Okay.
Yep. And you sit back there, and as they get verbal commands, you can control whether the person complies. If they're given their correct verbal commands, if they're not, then you can say, obviously, ramp it up, and they may pull a gun on you. And
yep.
That's when you make that decision.
Gotcha.
It's really nifty. So it's a great tool to have, and I'm glad we got it, especially in these times right now. So. Lastly, on that one, on the police update, we are hosting police and dispatchers hosting the SAA, which is Spillman Application Administrator class or course. We've sent out, there's 16 maximum spots. Those are full. They did give us a spot since we're hosting it for one of our people to go through. So we're sending one of our people through, dispatcher, and we sent them the list of restaurants and hotels in the area. So hopefully that brings some revenue to the city. Dispatch update. Shift leads are in place. Matt came in on his own time and had a little meeting with his crew, and they all seem pretty happy and ready to move forward and positive. And so I think things are going in the right direction, getting everybody in place. Jeremy Conrad, the new dispatcher we just hired. Trainers are, they're really very impressed with his process and progression of it, and they say he's catching on really fast, so I think they'll be able to have him released sooner than later. So that's good news.
Great.
Help relieve some of that overtime.
Questions, Gary? Thank you. Mark?
This morning, Chip and I went over, and JPR engineers went over to the old high school property we need to call it something else.
I know. We need to figure out a name.
RD Park.
Nope.
Yeah, something like that.
Nope. Hard pass.
We went over and staked out the amphitheater, so if you drive by and see stakes out there, we kind of laid it out so you could see where the stage would go, where the slope of the amphitheater would be at. And so it's kind of neat to see that. Once you get out there, you realize how big it is, really, but the area as a whole. Kind of excited to see what happens with all that. Hopefully Wiseness is in there soon, working on that, hopefully next week. We've been working out of the concessions trailer. It's working out great. Obviously it's different.
a lot of training going on, just knowing where everything's at and how everything works. But we had a baseball and softball tournament this last weekend on Saturday and Sunday, so it was a real eye-opening, just kind of throw into the fire type thing. We had the concession stand open. We had doing fields all weekend. Concession stand did well. We had the bathrooms open. The new bathrooms are open now, so we opened those on Saturday morning. People that were there loved it. Just way better than anything we've ever had. The porta potty should be gone this week. Our dumpster was taken out today, so it's starting to look a lot better down there. So slowly we're getting there. We should start working at the Aquatic Center probably tomorrow, just getting water turned on and drinking fountains going, and or just getting ready to power wash. That's the big thing, getting water so that we can power wash and start cleaning there, and then get everything ready for us to open in a month. So we are going to be hosting a pickleball tournament during Old Settlers Week. And so if anybody that you know is interested in it, they can find information online. Banji's putting that together. So, and then she's also doing a 3-on-3 basketball league this summer that's 6 weeks long, two nights a week. And so we'll see how that registration goes. But those are two new things we're trying this summer. A lot of mowing. Mowing like crazy. Even though we had 4 inches of snow last week, whatever it was. Also just doing a lot of training, a lot of new staff, and then still interviewing for the concession stand at the Aquatic Center. This will be the first year that we've ran the concession stand at the Aquatic Center. So we're taking that on, and that's a whole new thing for us. But I think it'll be a great thing. But we have a whole other additional concession staff for that. So a lot of changes. Kind of feel like you're running around putting out fires all the time, but I guess that's what I do.
Question to Mark?
I have some questions.
Sure.
So I was over looking at the old high school property, sure, since we don't have another name for it. the status that it is right now, is that pre-Wygents or sort of mid-Wygents?
It's pre-Wygents. Hasn't touched it.
They haven't done anything yet?
No.
Okay. I have to say it looks better than I expected it would look without Wygents doing anything.
I agree.
Yet, so.
If it was left like that, though, you wouldn't be able to grow grass. So
yeah,
it's just really bad filter and rocks.
Yeah, there's a lot of junk in there. So.
It's rocks. I have to say this. If and when you decide to start developing that, I believe that water main that runs from Grove Park to Whitley Street should be part of the process.
Okay.
It should be replaced. Because what scares me the most, we've had one leak, and it was because them joints are bolt joints, and the bolts rusted away. And I'm concerned that you're going to put all this money into this park and get it looking nice, and we're going to dig it up. And I'm just saying, when we, I think that it is the line, and it comes out the back of Grove Park from there, and it runs along behind the
football.
The football field, the press box, up to Whitley Street. And I'm just saying that that's something we ought to really look at that time. Because if you do all that work, and I'm still here, and you say, oh, we're going to dig it up, I'm retiring right there. I am not going to be the one that does the damage to that new facility.
So the line runs kind of on the southern edge of that dirt space?
Well, if you go down there, you can see where we dug up there on the parking lot.
Yeah.
And it runs from back
behind
the press box.
Yep.
Up and then across.
So it's just a straight line, though.
Well, it might have a little jog in it, but it goes across, and there's a valve where the kitchen used to be.
Okay.
Where the water line went into the old school.
Sure.
And it's right along there, and then over to Whitley Street.
Okay.
And I'm just saying that when we do it, I think that's something that we should. We have to have it.
Yep.
But I think we should replace it at that time, part of the contract.
Duly noted. Okay, thank you.
And like Mike said, we just had a leak there last week that they fixed.
Yeah.
So it was found by just seeing it bubbling up in the asphalt. So.
Yeah.
They caught it.
What did you say today? Nothing is free?
Nothing is free.
I think that's what you said. Nothing is free.
Only Mark.
Other questions, Mark? Okay, thank you. Marcia?
Nothing.
Rosie?
Nothing.
A couple things for your information. As you may, or I think you know this, we've talked about it in past council meeting, or in a past council meeting, but our trash contract is up on June 30th of this year. And so we went to Advanced Disposal, which is now Waste Management, to request a 1 year and 3 year proposed extension. We did get that back from Waste Management. I did a fair amount of work reaching out to other communities and other trash haulers to see as a comparison of where their proposal is versus where others are. I will say there's a fairly distinct increase in the prices that they're passing to us. Now, the thing I'm hearing from all the trash haulers is there's a lot of volatility in the market. And so in speaking with Waste Management's competitors, not about specific, like what they offered us, but just what a price range is, and talking to other communities of what kind of they're charging, our prices, the prices presented by Waste Management is reasonable. It does not mean it's not higher. It means it's reasonable compared to the market. I'm going to present all this in a different format, but I wanted to just give you a heads up that the prices will go up each year, you know, again, assuming Trash Committee approves, and they've already looked at this once, but once we get the formal extension language and it goes through Marcia, we'll have a Trash Committee meeting, then it'll go to the Board of Works. But what Council needs to know about is that the proposal they're presenting for a 3 year is that in July of this year, it raises from $7.39, which is what we're currently paying, up to $8.70, and then in the next year up to $9.14, and in the following year up to $9.60. I know that's a big increase. It definitely means we're going to have to increase trash rates. Okay, but again, in talking with other competitors and when talking with other communities, we will still be in the low range when it comes to the majority of communities around us of similar size. I had everything from we pay all of our trash through our taxes, which is, by the way, a terrible idea and very, very costly, all the way to we charge our citizens $16.75 a month, which is basically double what we're charging them right now, what we're charging our citizens right now. So there's a range there. I'll present all that information. But the proposal coming out of the Trash Committee is we raise rates $2.50 a month, from $8.50 to $11. Basically, the difference is, and again, I'll do this in a more formal way, but I don't like to spring these things on you, but at the end of the day, we have to have a difference between the rate we're charged and the rate we charge our residents of about $1 per month in order to pay for junk cleanup. So effectively, the rate will be to pay, I mean, the rate is to cover the trash rate and bulk pickup. So
people love bulk pickup.
I know they do, and this is, by the way, on that note, this Friday is the west side of the city's pickup, and next Friday is the east side, divided by Main Street. Next Friday is the east side's pickup. Reminder, if you have chemicals or wet paint or electronics, they need to go out to the recycle center. If you have tires or appliances, water heater, dishwasher, etc., you want those picked up, you need to call City Utilities by, I'd say this one.
Six.
By the 7th.
Or 7th.
By May 7th. And everything else, as long as it fits within the requirements of less than 6 feet, and yada, 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 and that will be picked up in those days as designated.
And this is your only shot this year.
Spring pickup. It's all we got. We have no fall pickup. It's a one-shot deal. As a reminder to the public, we have ordinances that prevent residents from outside the city to bring their junk inside the city. It is illegal dumping, and we've tightened up our ordinances in order to try to stop that to the best of our ability. Keep in mind, if you allow someone to put junk on your property, you are literally costing yourself and other residents of the city more money. So, Couple other things just for kind of your notation. As I mentioned, Rosie and I continue to meet every once in a while about stimulus money and who knows about that. US 30 planning is still happening from a local as well as a statewide level. I don't have a whole lot of updates from a statewide level, but locally we've been consistently meeting. Jennifer's on that. Chip is on that as well. Trying to revise the US 30 concept document that we have, which is good. From a legislative standpoint, there has been some changes. So legislative session is now over. There were some changes that occurred that are, you know, obviously every year the legislature tightens things on cities and towns. But in general, this wasn't a terrible year on us, which is good. Electronic meetings, and Deb's not on here now, but electronic meetings, there has been some rules placed on how and when we can utilize that. Marcia will put together kind of a review of that and then bring it in front of the council to decide if you want to just adopt that or if you want to have it more strict. You can always be more stringent. You can't be less stringent in this case. Okay? I know there's more than that. I'm just going to think about this. Gary and I are meeting next week to interview individuals for the deputy chief position for the police department, and so we will, I guess officially I make that decision, but I try to include my chief in that decision making, so we'll make that decision next Wednesday. Last week was Administrative Professionals Day. My assistant was out for IMA, so we're going to celebrate next week, but still appreciate Teresa and what she does on behalf of our residents and for my office. Lunch with the mayor is on Friday the 7th at noon. We also have Oakey Alley at 4 o'clock that night, and then we have Farmers Market grand opening on Saturday the next morning. So a lot of things happening in the city, a lot of good progress. We have been talking with another individual who is interested in developing their property for housing, which is good, and annexation into the city, which is also good. So we're going to continue having those conversations, obviously. That's good for the city. It's good for growth. It's good for utility customers because we're expanding those utilities and spreading out the tax burden as well. So that's what I have. That's a lot, I know. Sorry, but that's a lot. So, and thank you, by the way, for celebrating Ken. That was a special moment, and Ken is truly one of those really great people that has dedicated a lot of time and energy to things that people just don't think about, like the trees. Literally, someone would call in and say, hey, I think my tree's dead and I want it taken down. Ken would go out and actually learn from our arborist how to kind of test it on his own accord and do that, and he will be missed. And in that thing, the council needs to appoint a new person to replace him. So just keep that in mind. So, yeah, thank you for being part of that. Walt.
Any feedback on the census at this time?
Not at this time. They did release the census numbers, as you may have saw, from an apportionment standpoint across the nation. Indiana is not losing any representation, which is good. We had, I think, a 4.7% growth rate, I think, from the state for the last 10 years. Not as high as the national growth rate, but we retained our 9 congressional seats, so that's good. But we have no information about the city, no information about counties, no information about even our own House and Senate seats in the state of Indiana. So hopefully that will continue to roll out. So
I have nothing else.
They're saying September, by the way.
Oh, okay.
The last thing I heard was September is when they'll finally start to have numbers. Which, by the way, if you're running for Indiana House or Senate, that makes you real nervous because they don't apportion those seats until after those numbers come in. And so if you're running next year in an election, going to get a little hairy, so have grace on the county clerks across the state on that note. So Jennifer,
I have nothing.
Okay, Jen,
I have nothing.
Nothing from the public. Yes. Oh, I thought you had something.
Have you put anything together to do, like if we have to redo district or like
that? Not yet, because I can't. I mean,
we don't know.
But I would still.
Like a committee or something?
I didn't get things started because there's still a lot of things you have to put together.
Sure. Okay. I'm happy to do that.
Yeah. It's just a thought.
Yep. Okay. I will put them together. Okay. Anything else? We will call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.